Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hello, howdy. Welcome. You are just in time. Fourth and final hour of the Bobby Mack program, the one we call the bonus hour, is getting underway with yours truly, the attack dog of the right, the bombastic loud mouth of the South, the president, not to mention dean, of Insensitivity University, where we specialize in non-politically correct studies. Great to have you along, and feel free to join me and be a part of the conversation. Just grab your phone and use the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number, 71307. And my email address, bob@1063word.com. In on the text line. Now, Bobby, can you get a FISA warrant to investigate a coup attempt? That's a good question. An interesting legal question. Bobby, is everyone that was read in on this coup not guilty of something? They've certainly managed to keep a tightly closed loop. Yeah, but at this point, you know, they're starting to reach the point where I think a number of these people are gazing toward the red exit sign. And knowing full well as attorneys that whoever is first in the door gets the best deal. Bobby, if you're old enough to join the Army and be given a machine gun and trained to kill people, then you're damn well old enough to vape or smoke cigarettes or drink, for that matter. If you don't like it, change the military age to 21. Gotcha. Bobby, referring to the earlier discussion about grocery store taxes, A, B, and C, the A tax is applied to everything a politician deems taxable. Yeah, I believe that is the way the law reads. You are correct. Bobby, what? MasterCard is going to let people use made-up names on their credit cards? Wouldn't this be, well, you know, fraud? Bobby, when you were doing yes or BS today, I was hoping you would say Elizabeth Warren classifies herself as a vegetable. She is originally from Oklahoma. And I think that catches me up with the text line. Meantime, this afternoon from Fox News, State Department identifies 23 violations, multiple security incidents concerning Hillary Clinton and her famous email server. This is the scandal that will not put her away and yet will not go away. The State Department revealing today it has identified multiple security incidents involving current or former employees' handling of Hillary Clinton's emails, and that 23 violations and 7 infractions have been issued as part of the department's ongoing investigation. The information came in a letter to Iowa Republican Senator Chuck Grassley, who is responsible for overseeing the security review. To this point, the department has assessed culpability to 15 individuals, some of whom were culpable in multiple security incidents, said Mary Elizabeth Taylor, the State Department's Assistant Secretary in the Bureau of Legislative Affairs. DS, that's Department of State, has issued 23 violations and 7 infraction incidents. This number will likely change as the review progresses. The State Department, calling the matter serious, said it. Yeah, but I thought Comey said no serious prosecutor. Yet the State Department calls the matter serious, said it expected to conclude their investigation by September 1. The department acknowledged the probe was unusually time-consuming. Yeah, especially considering there's still 30,000 missing emails. Given the volume of emails provided to the department from former Secretary Clinton's private email server, the department's process has been necessarily more complicated and complex, requiring a significant dedication of time and resources. That's all right. Take as much time as you need. Apply all the resources you need. Taylor also noted that disciplinary consequences were pending. In every instance in which the department found an individual to be culpable of a valid security violation of three or more infractions, you got to get up to three. Third time is the charm here. The department forwarded the outcome to the Bureau of Diplomatic Security's Office of Personnel Security and Suitability to be placed in the individual's official security file. Oh, no, it's going to go on your permanent record. All valid security incidents reviewed by DS and taken into account every time an individual's eligibility for access to classified information is considered. The State Department declined to release the names of the employees consistent with its procedures. The department promised another update once it is newly completed. Clinton's private email use has remained in the spotlight as the DOJ probes potential misconduct in the handling of federal authority surveillance and intelligence operations in 2016. Then FBI Director James Comey said at that time that Clinton's handling of classified information was extremely careless, his words, remarks that were watered down from their original draft, but that no reasonable prosecutor would bring charges. It emerged earlier this year that then FBI General Counsel James Baker testified that he thought Clinton should have been prosecuted until he was convinced otherwise pretty late in the investigation. And was told, if you expect to have a future here at the FBI, shut up. Last month, a trove of partially redacted FBI documents from the agency's investigation into whether Clinton mishandled classified information, a probe known as the Mid-Year Exam, that's the name the case was given, revealed that top Clinton aides were shocked, I tell you, at apparent attempts to hack her private email servers. Attempts? The document release revealed numerous episodes in which the Clinton team either suspected it had been hacked or seemingly acknowledged that security measures had come up short, which is a polite way of saying they were hacked. You know, when we get to the bottom line of this, I have to agree with some of the crowds on the campaign trail who have said things like, oh, well,
talking about Feinstein. Can you believe
that? Oh, no. Don't expect Hillary to be purple-walked in an orange jumpsuit anytime soon. Although it might be a step up in the way she's been dressing lately. Quarter after six here on the Bobby Mac Show. Take a quick break here. When we come back on the other side, the Monday edition of Boneheads and the Knolls.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
McClain. 621 here in the Bobby Mac Show. Let me quickly catch up with the text line here on this Monday evening. Bob, I think Hillary and friends and party may be upset because someone hacked into her computer and they didn't pay for it. Uh-oh. Yeah. Cardinal sin with the Clinton Crime Family Foundation. Bobby, all of these crooks thought that Hillary was a certainty and everything was going to be hidden forever. Lock them all up. Bob, this investigation will be just in time for the 2020 election cycle. We can but hope. Bobby, it's not credit card fraud until you don't pay the bill. Bobby, this entire matter makes Jeff Sessions look even more inept and makes somebody ask why he lasted as long as he did. Gotcha. Okay, here we go. Ready, Miss Moneypenny? All right. Here is the Monday edition of
Boneheads in the News.
Yes, and our boneheads begin today. Where else? With a Florida man. Actually, this one's not your usual Florida man kind of story, though. A dad in Florida thought his daughters, Daisy Dukes, were too short over the weekend, so he went into her room wearing his super short jean shorts and threatened to wear them whenever he picked her up from school. A fate worse than death.
We have to have a call. Get your shorts.
No.
We're going to see who's fit better.
No.
Where are your butt cut shorts?
Which ones?
The new ones that we just bought that were supposed to be a lot longer. Get them.
No.
Put them on. I will pick you up in school every day with these on if you don't put them on. Whose are shorter, babe?
Y'all are the same.
I'm picking her up in school with these on.
These aren't even that short.
No, neither am I.
Yeah, well, no word on the resolution as to whether or not she still gets to wear them. Let's hope we can all eradicate from our brains the mental picture of Dad with his Daisy Dukes. Speaking of fathers, a dad in England superglued his hands to the front gate of his daughter's school last week. He was protesting her being sent home for having a piercing. School has a no piercings policy. She got her piercing on the piece of cartilage in front of your ear canal to help with migraines. He says it's medically necessary. The school says a policy is the policy. Here is the dad. A security guard busting him and people checking out the dad's hands after the cops pulled him off the gate.
Now I've superglued myself to the gate, expanding for myself and I've chained myself. My daughters have got a legal right to an education without pain. Superglue's burning my hands at the minute. Real bad. But I'm going to put myself through any pain so my daughter can live life without any pain. Stop that gate! Stop the gate!
Stop the gate!
This gate's gonna cut me in half if it opens. You better phone the police and the fire brigade. I'm super glued to your gate.
No, he's gonna pay for any damage to these gates.
Okay, I'm super glued to your gate.
What, Sean? What, you're stupid then?
Yeah, I'm totally insane, yeah.
It took your skin off?
Yeah, skin's there, look.
Oh,
let's have a look.
Ooh, get his hands. His skin's on gate.
Nice.
Yeah. Bully! I'll let you know how this one works out. Closer to home, Tar Heel State, North Carolina, to be more specific. 19-year-old burglar broke into a house in North Carolina on Friday, but had to take off after an 11-year-old boy hit him with a machete. The kid was home by himself. The burglar forced him into a closet where the kid discovered a machete on the wall and hit the burglar in the back of the head. Guy took off. Was arrested. Here's a kid with a message for the burglar.
Were you scared?
It was like, it went by really fast, and I knew that I didn't have any time to think about what I was going to do. So I just like grabbed a weapon that was in the house and just acted with it. You shouldn't have done what you've done. You're better off to get a job than breaking into other people's house.
Good advice.
He pointed a pellet gun at me, that was located in our house. And I knew that it wasn't loaded, so I just sat down and got in my closet like he told me to. And then he went into the living room to grab my phone to make sure I didn't call the 911 or anything. When I saw him try to put it in his pocket, I grabbed my machete off of my wall and went to hit him, and I hit him in the back of the head.
If they come in the door, you let them have it.
Machete! Yeah, let him have it. What are you in for, bud? Oh, man, I was doing a B&E, and this little kid hit me in the back of the head with a machete, man. What are kids coming to these days? An eighth grader in New Jersey going to graduation rehearsal didn't turn out the way the principal had planned.
A 14-year-old boy is in police custody after attacking a school principal with a knife. It happened this morning at an eighth grade graduation rehearsal at the Washington School in Rutherford. Police say the teen ran across the gym and stabbed the principal of the Union School several times in the chest.
Nice.
The teen allegedly dropped the knife and threw his hands in the air. He's charged with aggravated assault. No word on a motive for that attack.
Well, we can guess he didn't like the principal much. Don't have to be Wernher von Braun to get to the core of this crime. 55-year-old guy in Vermont by the name of Kevin Bacon. Wonder if he has 6 degrees of separation. Well, anyway, he crashed into a cop car last Thursday while searching on his phone for an old episode of Saved by the Bell. Just to give you an idea of the high quality of programming, here's a scene where they make a commercial and all have to speak with Italian accents on Saved by the Bell.
Mama spaghetti sauce? I just remembered I'm on a diet.
Me too.
Mamma mia.
Look, I'm sorry, Mama. No disrespect or nothing, but your spaghetti sauce, well, it stinks. Capisce?
Hey, what's up?
We're saved by the bell.
Yeah. And my boys, did you have your supper yet?
Oh, would you happen to have some of your world-famous delicious spaghetti sauce, huh?
Are you kidding? I may never leave a home without it.
Screech's Secret Sauce is available at the Max or by calling 555.
I can see why that show's no longer around. Kevin Bacon. Yeah, reminds me of Kevin Bacon's first big appearance on the scene, you know, in Animal House.
Remain calm. All is well.
Yeah.
All is well.
Yeah, remain calm. Remain calm. It's all okay. Well, it wasn't okay, I guess, for Kevin Bacon, but still okay for Kevin Bacon. At 6:29 here on the Bobby Mac Show, that's the Monday edition of
Boneheads in the News.
Little Annie is ready to go in the news center, and I'm right back with the last half of the bonus hour here on Monday. Welcome back. 6:35 now, 25 before 7 in the home stretch. Last half of the bonus hour here on Monday in on the text line. Yeah, this nails it. Bobby, that intruder's fate was sealed as soon as that little kid saw him putting his phone in his pocket. Yep. Hands off my phone, buddy. There was a great piece today that was on the web at a number of places. Published originally, I believe, at AmericanGreatness.com by Professor Victor Davis Hanson, who is a brilliant guy. And he wrote a column called When Normality Became Abnormal. And he gave a list of things that have transpired since the election of Donald Trump about American society. And he talked about, amongst other things, Obama giving the Iranians $150 billion. And he talked as well about how China now has had setbacks with the proposed tariffs. Palestinians And now, of course, the president moves our embassy there and went on to list a number of things in society that have transpired over the time that Donald Trump was in office. Limbaugh shared some of it on his program today, and it concluded the differences between then and now. The choices are at least starker. Now, the strategy is not, as in 08 and 2012, to offer a moderate slowdown of progressivism, but rather a complete repudiation of it. One way is to see this as a collision between Trump, the proverbial bull, and the administrative state, or the deep state, or the swamp, whatever you want to call it, as a targeted precious China shop, with all the inevitable mix-up of horns, hooves, and flying porcelain shards. But quite another is to conclude that what we recently used to think was abjectly abnormal 20 years ago had become not just normal, but so orthodoxly normal that even suggesting it was not was judged to be heretical and deserving of censure and worse, as in Hillary referring to Trump supporters as deplorables. The current normal correctives were denounced as abnormal, as if living in a sovereign state with secure borders, assuming that the law was enforced equally among all Americans, demanding that citizenship was something more than mere residence, and remembering that successful Americans, not their government, built their own businesses and lives, is now somewhat aberrant, aberrant, or perverse. Trump's political problem, then, may be that the accelerating aberration of 2009 to 2016 was of such magnitude that normalcy is now seen as sacrilege, weaponizing the IRS, unleashing the FBI to spy on political enemies and to plot the removal of an elected president, politicizing CIA to help warp U.S. politics, allying the Justice Department with the Democratic National Committee, and reducing FISA courts to rubber stamps for pursuing administration enemies became the new normal. Calling all that a near coup was abnormal. Let us hope that most Americans still prefer the abnormal remedy to the normal pathology. That's Professor Victor Davis Hanson, and a few cases in point here of exactly what he's talking about. Get this. From CNN, starting in 2020, Nevada employers cannot refuse to hire a job applicant for failing a marijuana screening test, making it the first state to pass such a law. Quote, "It is unlawful for any employer in the state to fail or refuse to hire a prospective employee because the prospective employee submitted to a screening test and the results of the test indicate the presence of marijuana," says the law signed by Governor Steve Sisolak on the 5th of June. There are some exceptions. The law does not apply to firefighters, EMTs, employees who operate a motor vehicle, or those who, in the determination of the employer, could adversely affect others' safety. Yeah, for instance, can you imagine somebody on a heavy construction crew running a big crane or something and high as a kite? Meantime, there is Vermont right next door, of course, to the home of Crazy Bernie. Get this. Vermont GOP governor, he's another enabler. Vermont GOP governor signs bill denying parental right to notification of a child's abortion. Vermont Governor Phil Scott, a Republican in name only, has signed a bill into law that declares abortion a fundamental right and denies parents a right to be notified if their daughter is seeking an abortion. The denial of parental consent for a child seeking an abortion contrasts sharply with the state's health code, which says non-prescription medication, such as ibuprofen, cannot be administered to a child in school without permission from a parent. Vermont continues to shift further leftward, as a recently proposed rule would also allow children and teens who claim to be transgender to obtain taxpayer-funded sex reassignment surgeries without having to wait until they're 21. That's what I said. Children and teens in Vermont who claim to be transgender. I mean, who has control of your child anymore in the state of Vermont? Is it the parents or is it the state? Children and teens in Vermont who claim to be transgender could soon be able to have taxpayer-funded sex reassignment surgeries without having to wait until they're 21. A new rule proposed at the end of May would allow children and teens covered by Medicaid and who have parental consent to begin sex reassignment surgeries at younger ages. The surgeries covered by Medicaid include 16 types of genital surgery, as well as breast augmentation or mastectomy. According to the report, Dr. Rachel Inker, who heads the Transgender Health Clinic at the Community Health Centers of Burlington, welcomed the new rule. Having young people have to wait until they're 21 just didn't really make any sense. You tell me what makes sense anymore. Wow, Vermont, with a GOP governor yet. Yeah. Some Republican. In on the text line, 71307. Good South Carolina needs that law. Weed should be the last of their concerns. Give me a break. Not like the high is that debilitating. Well, great. You know, then you get out there with a construction crew where somebody is running a piece of heavy-duty equipment. Bobby Crazy Bernie is Vermont's U.S. Senator. Of course, they'll elect a rhino for governor. That's the best they can do in that progressive hellhole. Gotcha. And I believe, yep, I am caught up on the text line. 6:45 here on the Bobby Mac Show. We'll be right back with the closing segment for the Monday, Can't Trust That Day edition. Coming right up.
Work.
Precisely correct. That's what we do for 4 hours each day, Monday through Friday. Bob and the Bobettes. I'm going to get to a piece tomorrow that I've been trying to work towards for several days here. I saw this piece. Actually, this is in Breitbart on, what day was this published? June 13th. Facebook's process to label you a hate agent revealed. And we all know, of course, that, you know, Zuckerberg and his crew hate conservatives and do everything they can to categorize them as Hillary would say, as deplorables. And it was reminiscent of a story that I'd seen previously at Business Insider about China and how they have started ranking their citizens with this really creepy social credit system, what you can do wrong and the embarrassing and demeaning ways in China that they can punish you. And we know, of course, that the Chinese have a tyrannical communist regime, and they throw thousands of people in prisons for violating whatever the state accuses them of having, whatever sin of commission or omission they may have committed. And I thought the similarities between what Zuckerberg is trying to do at Facebook in labeling people and what's going on in China had some remarkable similarities. So we'll do that. We'll try and do that in the first hour of the program tomorrow. Also tomorrow on the program, 4th District Congressman William Timmons, who was with me last week for our regular Tuesday with Timmons visit, has spent some time on the border between now and then. We'll get an update from him tomorrow right after about 5:10 in the 5 o'clock follies on the Bobby Mack Show. And we also have a visit tomorrow from Cassie with the RNC, who is going to update us on the big Orlando event tomorrow night. I think it's the Amway Center in Orlando, where the president's reelection campaign is officially going to kick off. Amway Center holds 20,000 people, and as of several hours ago, which was the last time that I checked the numbers, the Trump campaign has had 100,000 requests for tickets. All right, so pretty impressive. And I saw this story today at the Daily Mail, or as some people call it, the Daily Fail. Flight attendants have shared their mid-air horror stories and revealed what you must never do on a plane. I would guess like trying to open the door. Difficult to do in flight, of course, because the cabins are pressurized. While being an air steward might seem like an appealing job with great travel perks, the reality is far less glamorous. Current and former Australian flight crew have taken to Reddit to unveil what some sick passengers do while waiting for their drinks. One former flight attendant said, "People are generally disgusting on planes." I know you're stunned to hear that, right? "People frequently do disgusting things on their tray tables. I've seen people change dirty diapers, clip toenails, and wipe boogers, to name a few. Though these discoveries pale in comparison to human feces under a seat," they said. Crew members listed the many horrors they have come across while on the job. Many flight attendants said passengers with heavy bags were frustrating as they expected flight crew to lift them into the overhead bins, which left some with injuries. One flight attendant said, "Hey, if you pack it, you lift it." Another person said there were many incidents that occur on planes that passengers would not think possible. "My last flight, an elderly man accidentally relieved himself on the floor, stepped in it, and walked on like it was nothing." They also warned to be wary of the floors on toilets on the plane and told passengers to make sure they keep their shoes on when heading to the bathroom. "Please do not ever walk into a toilet with bare feet. I promise you, 9 times out of 10, that is not water on the floor. They're often absolutely disgusting and get deep cleaned only at the end of a route. For us, this could be from one side of the world to the other. Imagine how lovely they are at the end of a 12-hour flight with 200 people using them." Another flight attendant issue was passengers trying to game the system. Apparently, a lot of time, couples will book separate seats, one in premium economy and the other in economy. As they go to board the plane, they then try to get seats together in premium. All of this to save a few bucks on the second premium. See, sounds to me like trying to bump yourself up in class is probably the least of their worries. Yeah, there was a time being a flight attendant was pretty stylish, pretty classy, and now, today, just apparently airborne waiters. I feel sorry for what they have to put up with. And to wrap things up for today, the Tuesday Day Before Threesday edition of the Bobby Mack Show will begin almost before you know it. And, of course, following closely on my heels as I'm sandwiched between El Rushbo on one side and, of course, the great one, Mark Levin, on the other. Stand by, because we will be going momentarily to the underground command post. First, in on the text line, conversely, Bobby, actually 12 times out of 10, that is not water on the bathroom floor. Gotcha. Bobby, just throw the Bible to the curb. We need to pray for the state of Vermont. And this one says, Bobby, I wonder just how much longer the Lord is going to bite his tongue. Bobby Mack, do we pray for the devil as well? Yeah, absolutely. Who needs it more? So, wrap things up for today. Thanks so much for being here. We will do it all again tomorrow afternoon, beginning at 3. And until then, continue your evening commute safely, and I will see you back on the morrow. God bless.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Well, kids, that's our show for today. And now, in the words of Mr. Cole Porter,
every time we say goodbye,
goodbye.
You say goodbye.
What?
And I say hello.
Hello. I must be going. I must be going.
So long, farewell, our feet are saying goodbye. I leave and heave a sigh and say goodbye.
Goodbye to you.
I'll be back.
Goodbye to you.
Goodbye.
Broadcast day.
Goodbye.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.